Welcome back to the Roundtable. In our Ideas Matter segment, we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we're speaking with Tatiana Klein, whose new film, Una Vida, Dos Países, One Life, Two Countries, explores some of the stories of those living between two countries, cultures, languages, and education systems. Tatiana Klein is a documentary filmmaker, a professor of bilingual education at the City College of New York, and one of the New York Council for the Humanities Public Scholars. And it's a pleasure to welcome Tatiana Klein to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me to talk about this work.
It's very nice to have you aboard. How did you come to the documentary? What is it that you wanted to explore?
Sure. So in the past, I was looking at undocumented youth who are here in the United States, right? We have many in New York and in the country as well. And at the same time, I was also turning on the news, and as you know, we often hear rhetoric about immigration, and often we hear about deportations. And I was just hearing these numbers of the Obama administration deporting more undocumented immigrants than any other administration, and I was wondering, well, okay, these are numbers, but what are the stories? What are the people's stories, and specifically what happens to children and youth? Because I do work in education, so that's specifically the group I focus on. So I just wanted to know more than just numbers, because these are humans involved in this, and you know, we all know migrating from one state to another is hard, one country to another is hard. So I wanted to learn a little bit more from their own perspectives.
In that, learning more about their own perspectives, what's step one in that, and really immersing yourself into that culture and to get that information?
Yeah, so asking someone to talk about issues of immigration, especially when one's status wasn't authorized in the United States, isn't easy, and you need to build a lot of trust, right? Especially before you put a camera in front of someone's face, and especially when you're talking about children and youth. So I was lucky last year. I was on sabbatical, and I got a Fulbright fellowship, so I was able to spend 6 months in Oaxaca, Mexico, which is in the south of Mexico. And through my time there and the connections I made, I was able to access these different communities and build connections with these different families and schools who allowed me to then document their experiences. So it wasn't easy, and it certainly took a lot of time, but I think it was very much worth it because it gives us a perspective on this topic that isn't readily available in the general public especially.
Why are people leaving the United States to return to Mexico?
Right, and they are leaving. The numbers are quite high. Actually, the numbers of people coming and going evens out, and it's even more people leaving to an extent than people that are coming is what some of the latest statistics have found. So obviously, people hear about deportations, and they very much are happening as we speak. But that's not the only reason people are leaving. People are also leaving based on the circumstances of being undocumented and the challenges of living as an undocumented person in this country. So, for example, some of the people in the film, they had not seen their parents or these kids' grandparents in maybe 10, 12 or more years. And, you know, like we all do, we all age, right? So they wanted to see their parents before they potentially die or have their children meet their grandparents for the first time. So that was one impetus. Another impetus is healthcare. If you're undocumented, in most places, you cannot access healthcare. So obviously, if you need to go to the emergency room for something, you know, short term for one treatment, that's fine. But if you have a long-term healthcare issue that you need treatment over time, then you can't afford it here if you don't have insurance. So health reasons were another reason. And then just the discrimination of being undocumented here, just not knowing, you know, always having to look out for the police, for immigration, the threat of deportation, discrimination, especially people that live in southern states where their policies against immigrants without papers are much stronger than maybe some of the states in the East or California, although it's still not easy here by any means. So there's lots of different reasons why people return. Some people call it a choice, but it's forced. It's a forced choice when they feel like they don't have any other options because they don't always want to return, but they feel like they don't have any other options.
What I find interesting is the point that you make that children especially face steep challenges, children who were born and raised in the U.S., mm-hmm. and then when they go back to Mexico, the challenges that they face are quite interesting.
Yeah, and these are two different groups of subgroups of these children and youth that are going back. Some were actually born here, and within the past 20 years or so, if you're born here to Mexican citizen parents, you can get dual citizenship. So that is good that they can, you know, go back and forth if they so choose. But then there's children that were born in Mexico, brought here at the age of 1, 2, 3, 4, live here for a decade or so, and then at high school or middle school age, return. And they have very different challenges. And I would say the little kids that go when they're 5 or 6, their challenges are very different from a 15-year-old, for example. So my study kind of looked at children at elementary school, high school, and college, because developmentally what they face is different. But they're discriminated against for – they're actually often made fun of for the way they speak Spanish, even for them speaking English, to the extent that they don't want to tell people they speak English, even though it is a great resource for them. And some of them actually do end up becoming English teachers, which is a good thing. They don't – in school, in most of the schools in the United States, these children have been – have their education in English. So even though they speak Spanish at home and sometimes indigenous languages as well, when it comes to schooling, they're not used to doing math in Spanish. They're not used to writing, you know, essays in Spanish. So when they go there, even though they may have had the content because they haven't had bilingual education, they struggle in school, right? So it may appear that, oh, this kid really isn't good at math, or this child isn't good at science, whereas really they're just struggling with the Spanish. And because they, quote unquote, look Mexican, right? We can, that's another story what that means, but because, you know, their names appear to be Mexican and they visually look Mexican, the teachers don't notice that there's anything really different about them. Right, so it's really important to actually ask kids, like, where are you from? So it's just getting used to a whole new culture. And, you know, they talk about in the film, like, the flag ceremony. They don't even know kind of what's going on. What are we supposed to be doing here? So there's language challenges. There's cultural challenges. The schooling is very different, right? So they're getting used to meeting new family members, right? Just imagine that, like, meeting your grandparents when you're 15 years old, how different that is from when you grow up, you know, in the same vicinity as your family members. So there's a lot for them to get used to, and also often they go to more high poverty areas, so they may not have always access to electricity or running water all the time. So there's a lot of challenges they experience.
In showing of the film, it's a 30-minute film, and in showing the film, what are the conversations that you have and that you like to have around it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually what we've done with the film is a teaching tool. So it's available for everybody. We want people, educators, to use it with their students in the U.S., in Mexico, and other countries as well. And what we've done is we've created a curriculum to go with it. We're almost done with it. We're going to have it on the website as well, and I'll share that with you at the end. But the curriculum basically introduces the film, but then it deals with issues of identity, because these kids struggle with, who am I? Am I American? Am I Mexican? Am I something else, right? Because everywhere you go, you don't quite fit in. There's a saying, not from here nor there. But how do we make it so they feel like they fit in both places, right? They feel transnational. There is a lesson on languages, right? Because these kids are very multilingual. They speak Spanish. They speak English. Some of them speak indigenous languages. In the film, it's Zapoteco, but there are many in Oaxaca. Then we look at economics, right? Because economics is really a driving force of why so many people come here. We had them look at the minimum wage in the United States compared to Mexico, and often people are kind of shocked by the discrepancy, by the disparity. And then looking at policies, right? So what kind of policies are there that force people to leave or to come to a certain country, and then they do a final project. So I think it's all these things we want people to have conversations. It's not just watch the film and let it go, but watch the film, talk about these issues, and then think about what kind of country do we want to be? How do we want to welcome immigrants, and why? And I think by looking at stories as opposed to numbers, it can help inform our conversations.
So anyone can access the film, and then you have an idea. There is curriculum available so people can have the conversation around what you are showing them.
Exactly. So the film is open and accessible to everyone. It's at the film website, unavidathefilm.com, UNAVIDA, thefilm.com. And you can actually see the whole film there and all the materials, and read different articles that have come out about it and things like that. So we encourage people to watch it, not only in schools, you know, in homes too. It's a quick 30-minute watch, so we hope that it will start a conversation. Often the discourse around immigration is so negative, especially in this presidential campaign. So I think it's important to hear directly from the people impacted by these policies here, but also in Mexico and in other countries as well.
Yes, that idea of hearing the voices of the people of Mexico, because we don't often get that perspective, right?
Exactly. And even though they're in Mexico now, doesn't mean they won't be back here, right? We know that some of these kids are U.S. citizens also. So in the future, more likely than not, they will be back here. Some of these other kids, they have all the intentions of coming back to the United States because they consider it their home. So I think we have to stop looking at immigration so linear as you're either here or there, because often you're between places and you're, you know, going back and forth. And we have to look at it from all those sides.
The film is Una Vida, Dos Países, One Life, Two Countries. It is a documentary about how children raised in the U.S. deal with moving back to Mexico to be with their families. Tatiana Klein is a documentary filmmaker, a professor of bilingual education at the City College of New York, and one of the New York Council for the Humanities Public Scholars, joining us for Ideas Matter this morning. Again, you can find out more information and view the film by going to unavidathefilm.com, UNAVIDA, thefilm.com. UnaVidaTheFilm.com. Tatiana Klein, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure, and best of luck with this important work.
Muchas gracias. Thanks so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You can find out more information by going to UnaVidaTheFilm.com. You can also find that information on our website at WAMC.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.